If you're sensitive, get over it. If you're a millennial, I'm so sorry to hurt your feelings. And if you've been in the church a long time, you probably need to hear this preach. Okay. So, good to see you. We should be excited about the Bible. Every time we open it, we should be excited. I got sent this little clip yesterday by a guy that used to be in our church in Durban, and he sent me this clip of a lady giving a testimony in the middle of America, 29-year-old lady who spent the last 18 months in a wheelchair, and she's got a disease where your nervous system attacks your immune system, or the other way around. I'm not quite sure. I'm not a doctor, but anyway, there's a heck of a battle going on in your body, which put her into a wheelchair, and her and her husband went into a coffee shop in the middle of America, and they were arguing, and she was crying because she's 29 years old. She can't be a wife. She can't be a mother properly. And she walked into this coffee shop, and there was a little girl there called Jessica that used to be in our church in Durban, and her mum was really sick. Her mum had incredible arthritis where it distorted and contorted her body, and her mum was never healed. But this little girl, Jessica, had faith. She went across to America. She spent some time studying there, and she was reading a book about God's miracles, and she read the story of a woman being healed from a wheelchair, and she looked up and she saw this lady getting wheeled into the coffee shop, and she walked across. She said, "Hi, my name is Jessica. I'm from Durban. Would you mind if I prayed for you?" And God instantly healed her. Amen. She felt the power of God hit her body, started to go through her body. Her knees started to jump up and down. And her husband, who's a very lateral thinker or linear thinker, didn't know what was going on, tried to take her home. She started going home and her legs wouldn't stop moving. She said, "You mind if I get out and start to walk?" She started to walk in the park, and then she started to run around the church. I thought, praise God. So Mark chapter 6 says, Jesus left there and he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Say offense. That is the word scandalon. It's a Greek word, scandalon. And the picture of scandalon is that little stick that you tie a piece of rope to when you set a bird cage. You know, when you try and trap a bird, you take that stick, you make a cage, you put that little stick there, you put some crumbs underneath, and when the birds come, you pull that stick. That stick is called scandalon. An offended person is a trapped person. And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor." He could not do any miracles there in his hometown. He could not do any miracles there. I think of myself driving into Harry Smith, and it's gone really down now, and that's where my hometown, some of you, it's Bronco Sprite. I was luckier than you. Some of you come from Pof Adar Af. It's called Pof Adar because you can't say Path Adar. And you grew up there, and when you come into your hometown, they know you from when you were a little boy. So when I preach in Harry Smith, I have no honor there because they think, "I know you. I know you played rugby. I know how you lost your temper. I know how you don't have honor in your hometown." Jesus said, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor." He could not do any miracles there except to lay his hands on a few people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Say lack of faith. Friends, for time's sake, we've had a busy morning. I'll leave my notes and I'll share with you three very quick things on what I believe affects our faith. The first is simply this. When you grow up with Jesus, you can become presumptuous about faith. When you grow up with Jesus, you can become presumptuous about faith. I had the incredible privilege of standing at the door this morning with a very accomplished surgeon. He's so accomplished, everybody that I know in Durban who's got problems, I send them to him. And one of our friends came up here the other day and had an operation, and one day later she was out after a major operation back there, and she told another friend who's coming. And you know, friends, you can lose the wonder as he stands at the door. He can probably see patients coming in, and you can lose the wonder of having a neck that is completely disjointed, and after a major operation, the person is now pain-free, and they're in their right position, and everything is going well. And I sat there at that moment, one of my friends walked past, who 2 years ago was an addicted drug addict. And I supernaturally met that man. And he walked past this morning, the picture of health. And the doctor and I just spoke a little bit about what it means to see people's lives coming back in order. But the problem, friends, is that you can be in the church so long that this is no longer a house that produces miracles. You just come here week after week without the expectation of a mighty God intervening in our lives and changing people. This church was birthed by a man called Ashley Bell and his wife Nadine. He was a springbuck surfer. He was slave to the wave. He loved surfing. His beach was his whole life. He grew up on the beach. He was the mayor of the beachfront. And God spoke to him and said, you're going to go and plant a church in a group of people who don't speak your language, and there's no sea there unless you want to go to Sun City every now and again. And so he got in his car with his two little girls and he came here. He didn't know a single soul. And on Christmas Day, 21 years ago, he stood up in his lounge and he started to preach the gospel. He had faith, friends. You're not just coming into a room of a group of people that don't have a history. You're coming into a room where pioneers gave up their culture to come and see God move. And so as you sit here sometimes with your culture, you think, I don't like loud, I don't like English, I don't like... Friends, it doesn't matter what you like. When you come here, you've got to come here with faith that God is going to do something. God can move and He can intervene and He can set drug addicts free and He can forgive people. He can come around a family and love people. And I pray, friends, if you've been in this church for 21 years because a group of people came with them, we think of them all. The Frohlings, Rudy and Geraldine, who relocated and moved up here. We think of Rob and Jackie Duncan, that girl who stood up here today and said, there's some people who grew up in the church. That couple were young. They weren't even married. They relocated from Durban to come here because they had faith in their hearts that God was going to intervene and do something in our lives. Amen? And friends, I believe every Sunday we get together, I don't want to come here with just another Sunday, another meeting. I want to come here with the expectation that Jesus, the miracle worker, can do anything. He can do anything. Because sitting in the seats of this auditorium are Jessica's from Pretoria, Johanna's from Pretoria, Ruben's from Pretoria. You're just sitting ordinary people, a little girl called Jessica, who managed to stir up her faith after hundreds of prayers for her mother and watching her mother not get healed. Could still put her hands on a crippled woman and say, Jesus, please, will you come through? I want to get on a plane and go and hug Jessica and say, Jessica, please, come to Pretoria and remind us, even if God has not acted in the past, that we never lose faith. Every time we get together, there will be baptisms. Friends, you don't know what's going on. One of the men who got baptized today is not even part of our church. He's not even a member here. And he phoned us and said, I heard about your baptisms. I must come. He invited his family. And what we saw there today is a miracle. And every single Sunday we meet, this is not the hometown of Jesus. He's not our homeboy. Hey, Jesus, you my pal. Who like it, my pal? This is the place where Jesus is the Lord and Jesus is the Savior. And He can touch and change and heal and deliver and set people free. Amen. And so don't come here, friends, just with creases on your face, getting out of bed thinking, I'm going to tick a box because in Pretoria East we go to church. No, this is not the hometown of Jesus. Friends, this is a miracle center where God can do anything at any time. And I think we should get that doctor to stand up with some of his x-rays of necks that get healed. And then we get some people to stand up and say, when I came here, my life was completely disjointed. And systematically, God has operated on my spine and my hips and my heart and my head. And he's put things in place. Amen. It doesn't matter how broken they come in here. It doesn't matter how dirty come in here. It doesn't matter how debauched they come in here. We preach Christ, and Christ is a healer. May this never become the hometown of Jesus. May this always be the miracle center where Jesus can act. Number one. Number two, they called him Mary's son. Excuse my offense, friends, but that is like saying son of a bitch. You never called a man by his mother's name. If you read that story, it says his brother was Justice, his brother was James, and then it says, and the sisters. This is a racist, sexist society. And it's like saying to Jesus, he's a bastard child in his hometown. It says, ha ha, hometown, Harry Smith. You know Harry Smith? I mean, we know the story. You know Simon? Simon is caught with this guy. You know Mary? They got married in June. The baby was born in October. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, skinny, skinny, skinny. How does that work? Honeymoon baby? Just before. So this is rife. But friends, remember with the stories. The story is about a lack of faith. The lack of faith. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is called the Son of God. Say Son of God. It says, as he came out of the water. Say that, as he came out of the water. As he came out of the water, there was a voice from heaven, a booming voice from heaven said, this is my son. Six chapters later, he's called the son of Mary, the most derogatory term that you could give to a boy, and it never changed Jesus' life because he believed the first voice. He never believed the second one. And I want to tell you why our faith gets robbed, friends, because we believe the second voice, we don't believe the first one. And what happens in the church, the reason why the church does not have faith that it should have to change Pretoria is because we believe the labels that people put on us instead of believing the theology that God teaches us. I am a son of God. Say that. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. You see, friends, many of us have got labels. Some of you divorced. Some of you uneducated. Some of you got all sorts of labels that rob you of faith. I read an African proverb this week. It says, if you think you're too insignificant to make a difference, then you've obviously not spent a night with a mosquito. Because you know what? You can turn the lights on, you can turn the bed upside down, but when... And sitting in the rows, friends, are men and women that God has placed in the city to make a difference in people's lives. But son of Mary is the label that has robbed you of the faith to do what God has called you to do. As he came out of the water, friends, there's an incredible, I've been looking at the issue of blessing. As he came out of the water is a picture of being born. I mean, if you're a father of a pregnant woman, a husband of a pregnant woman, everything goes right until the waters break. If you don't know what that means, you will learn. It's quite a thing. Hi, babe. How you doing? Ah, my waters have broken. You stop everything. You race. You pick up. You rush to hospital. You don't. Your manners go out the way. When the waters have broken, it says in Mark chapter 1, when the waters has broken and his head came out, there was a voice from heaven that spoke to him and said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. When you get born again, the day that you get born again, the waters break over your life. And as your head comes out of the waters, a voice from heaven that says, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And for the rest of your life, the world will try and call you son of Mary. Son of a gun. Bastard child. And the moment you believe that, friends, your faith dissipates and we can no longer change the world. But if we believe the blessing, if we believe the blessing, our faith starts to increase and we'll change the world. They say there are four elements to blessing. The first thing is the ability to see. When somebody sees you, when they see you. You see, this world that we grow in, you're always looking for the more important person. Where's the CEO? Where's the MD? And you rate sort of people. Manager, director, CEO, how's it? How's it? But you see, when Jesus looks, he sees you. And when a person sees you, it's the beginning of blessing. I'm reading a story by a Catholic priest. He says this, he says, blessing starts with a child in a baby chair. When a parent feeds it food and it turns that food into energy and starts to express itself by throwing food off the table, most parents at that time curse the child and tell them it's naughty. Instead of saying, I've given you food, you've turned that food into energy. That energy is expressing itself in creativity and blessing that child with that. Children get cursed from those very first days. Our job is to bless the energy and the creativity in people's lives, friends. Amen? The third thing they say is words. We've spoken about Boaz here many times. There was a voice from heaven that spoke and said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We can either call a person son of God, or we can call a person son of Mary. Now we know he's Mary's son, but you've got to understand in the Bible, that is an unbelievably derogatory term. What do you use your mouth for? This Catholic priest tells a story of a Buddha, big fat guy, sitting under a tree. Don't worry about it, I'm not going Catholic or Buddha. I'm just reading. And he talks of a young man walking past and saying to the guy sitting under the tree, he says, you're as fat as a pig. You're as fat as a pig. And the Buddha speaks back and says, and you look like God. And the young man stops and says, how can you say that? He said, young man, I sit here all day and I think about God. And when I look out, I see where God is busy in the world. What are you thinking about, young man? What are you thinking about? I'm so deeply worried by the conversation in Pretoria churches. If we spend time in God's presence, we will speak a blessing over this city. We'll speak a blessing over people's lives. Yes. What are you thinking about every day, 3CR people? Because you've got people in this auditorium that have died under the cruel words of a teacher, a master, a sports coach, a professor, instead of living under the blessing. I spent a few days away last week. I just had to come home. I came home early. Oh, I said, why are you going home? I said, I'm coming home. I'm putting my kids in the lounge and I'm going to bless my children. I'm going to bless them. They're not going to know what to do with it, but I'm going to get them on my lounge and I'm going to bless them. And my son had a friend staying with him. I said, you coming too. You're going to get blessed too. And we started to bless. And the presence of God filled our house. That young man, I don't know if he's been blessed before, but he started to weep. Yes. The number one need in this world is to receive a blessing verbally from an authority figure, I believe. And the lack of blessing results in a cyclical pattern of cursing all over the world. You always find the fault. You always find the weakness. You always find what's negative. I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm talking about biblical blessing. He believed that he was the son of God. He did not allow his hometown boys to put son of Mary on his life. It never affected his behavior. Amen? And the fourth area is that I use my resources to help somebody fulfill their dream. That's blessing. I use my resources to help somebody else fulfill their dream. I inherited a little black box 6 weeks. I know some of you know a bit of the story. 6 weeks ago, I inherited a little black box from my dad's safe. And there was a time I was at a private school. There was a time when my dad walked out of the headmaster's office. His business had gone bankrupt or was under major pressure. The road had moved. He had a petrol station. The road had moved. And I remember meeting him there 250 kilometers from home. I said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing here?" He said, "Listen, boy, I've gone bankrupt, but I've made sure that you're not going to have to leave the school." One story. I inherited this little block box 6 weeks ago, and my dad turned to drinking, and in this box is a letter I wrote to my dad 34 years ago. I said, "Dear Dad, your drinking is seriously affecting our family. It turns you into somebody that you're not. And I'm appealing to you as your 14-year-old child. Please, Dad, will you give up drinking?" And dated in the same year, 36 checks. 36 salary checks, 700 rand a month. The salary checks of my dad, who he couldn't put them through the business because the business couldn't afford to pay him. But he kept me in school. And I look at this incredible complexity between a drinking man and yet this unbelievably sacrificial man who didn't bank his checks, but he made sure that I lived with the blessing of the best education that he could afford me. That's blessing. And all of us are complicated. We all got issues. But friends, we are sons of God, not sons of Mary. And the people in our domains, that man who stood up here today is the headmaster of the school where the Erasmus children are at. I know that they will live under the blessing of that headmaster and the teachers. He's here today. He walks to the front. He gives him a squeeze. You will live under the favor of that man. I pray, friends, when people come into the spaces of 3CR people, we will see them. We will celebrate them. We will speak life to them. And we'll give up our resources so that they can do well. That's blessing. And just to close, I'll do a whole teaching about offense soon. It's a big teaching. I want to ask you this question in your life. Is the stick shaking? Is the stick shaking? Because all the words in the Bible, fall away, stumble, it's exactly the same word as offense. It says, don't fall away because of Christ. It says this in the Proverbs, an offended brother, say an offended brother, is more unyielding than a fortified city. Fortified city, walls, on top of the walls, archers, behind the archers, big stone throwers, the moat is lifted up, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. Why you're offended? Jesus says this, blessed is the man who overlooks an offense. Matthew 11 verse 6. Blessed is the man who overlooks an offense. I tell you what happens in this story, friends. Jesus sees people and he overlooks offense. What happens in Pretoria East is we see offense and we overlook people. And what offense does, the moment you get trapped, faith goes out of you. Jesus is preaching in John chapter 6 and he says, I am the flesh and I am the wine. Eat of me and drink of me. I mean, that is a hectic teaching. I'm going to write the Message Bible, which is the paraphrased Bible. I'm going to write an Afrikaans version called Die Boodskap. Eendag. And I will read all these phrases and think, what does it mean? I am the meat and I am the flesh. And I'm going to say, ek is die dop and ek is die chop. Ek is die dop en die chop. It's like everyday language. I know you guys, you've just stuck in here. You've still got a bit of a bubble us. You can understand that language. Ek wil vir jou sê, Jesus is jou dop en chop, my pal. Jesus is jou dop en chop. What is Jesus saying? He says, I want, you know, you leave work early on Friday in Pretoria and Saturday. Oh, you don't work on Saturday. But hoe kom los jy vroeg vandag? Want ek wil na Bome toe gaan, want ek wil 'n bietjie chops kry en 'n bietjie broodwors en 'n lekker wyn, want ek het baie mense wat oorkom. And Jesus says, I want to be your bread, your meat, and your wine. I want to be the center of your braai place. Every time you have a braai in your house, I want to be the center of that braai place. And you know what the Bible says? They became offended. They took offense. Because it's like, I want a braai and I want to have Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to be the substance of your braai place. He says, I don't want to be tagged on a Sunday. I want to be at your bra on Friday. I want to be at the rugby with you on Saturday. I want to be at your workplace on Sunday. I want to be at your office on Monday. I want to be your life. I want to be the thing that sustains you and the thing that refreshes you. And they became offended by that. You know what the next verse says? They started to leave him. How do you know you're offended? So, you know, some people have just joined today, and some of you are on the brink of leaving this church. Why? Because you're offended. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. It goes on, if you read the Proverbs, Proverbs 18:19, it says, it is to the glory of a man to overlook an offense. Friends, the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he wants to know one question. Not is there love, not is there forgiveness. He wants to know when he comes back, is there faith on the earth? Is there faith on the earth? When he went back to his hometown, he said, in this place, there is no faith. When Jesus comes back to 3CI, he's going to ask this question, is there faith there? Is there faith? Is there faith there? You don't take me for granted. You expect me to move. Number two, you don't put labels on people. You put my name on people. And number three, you deal with offense. You lift the cage. You get out of your little space so God can move. Jesus, please come back. And I pray when you do, you'll find faith in this church. Not small-mindedness. Pioneering faith that leaves Durban and comes and speaks to people who don't know. Nick Davis, the preacher of Christ. In the foundation of this church is Jesus. The faith of freedom from Heinz Schrader. He preached freedom into this church. You can't just come in and, oh, I don't like the songs. I don't like the worship. It's too loud. I don't like this. No, friends, behind this is a group of people who trusted God to break systems, to bring in freedom. Grant Askim preached week after week just to keep the mission of this church straight. He showed courage. You can't just come in and think, eh, don't like that, don't like that, don't like this, don't like that. Jesus, I pray that when you look down at this church, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, I pray when you look at this church, I pray you'll find faith. I pray that you'll find faith. You'll find faith. And if we've become offended, if we've become scandalized, if we've had the stick pulled on us, Lord God, through relationships or expectations or whatever it might be, I ask that you'd lift the box and set us free. I'll tell you what the greatest offense, and I'm going to finish now. The greatest offense to me in the charismatic church is false prophecy. And I'll just give you one example and we're finished. People prophesy the biggest load of hogwash you've ever seen in your life. And so they say things like, I prophesy that God's going to make you a businessman and you're going to be really rich and you're going to bless people and you're going to give millions away. And 20 years later, the guy's still a junior admin clerk in the company that he's worked for. And he's saying, God, you told me. No, God didn't tell you that. Some overzealous person told you that. And the stick gets pulled and you sit underneath this incredibly confined space. I pray today that God lifts every man-made cage of your life so that you can live with faith again and do what God calls you to do. Amen.